Welcome to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This edition of Local Voices airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on a glance back at the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you again for tuning in to this special edition, A Glance Back, here on Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. This edition of Local Voices is brought to you by Jim Steele, president of the Boone's Lick Historical Society, and from donations from listeners like you.
Look for the silver lining whenever skies are gray. No matter what befalls you now, there will come a brighter day. The world will sing again, the bells will ring again, and lonely hearts are meeting, life begins anew. The sun will rise again, there'll be blue skies again, with not a cloud to hide the loveliness in view. Although your dreams have gone, just smile and carry on. There must be a darkest hour before the dawn. The world will sing again, a song of spring again, for there'll be happiness around the bend for you. And then the dreams you've dreamed will all come. Be a darkest hour before the dawn. The world will sing again, a song of spring again, for there'll be happiness around the bend for you. And then the dreams you've dreamed will all come.
Came in one night, full of cheer and very bright. He'd been out all day upon the spree. He bumped into Sergeant Smeck, put his arms around his neck, and in his ear he whispered tenderly,
"Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Tuck me in my little wooden bed. We all love you, Sergeant Major. When we hear you boring so early, don't forget to wake me in the morning and bring me round a nice hot cup of tea. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Love me my poor plates of meat on soil. Oh, kiss me good night, Sergeant Major.
And don't forget to shut the blinking door. I want to dream of dear old Happy Hampstead. The bull and bush ain't half the place for me, cook lino. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
Sunday, May 7th, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave the second of 30 public radio speeches that would become known as Fireside Chats. During these radio chats, the president would inform the American people and build support for his administration's efforts during the Great Depression, World War II, and the enactment of New Deal policies. FDR was an extremely accomplished public speaker, but it was his candor and empathy that touched the hearts of those Americans dreaming about a better future for themselves and the world. It was these groundbreaking fireside chats that helped form Roosevelt's image as the father figure of the United States of America. This is President Roosevelt's second fireside chat for May 7th, 1933, entitled Outlining the New Deal Program.
On a Sunday night, a week after my inauguration, I used the radio to tell you about the banking crisis, about the measures we were taking to meet it. In that way, I tried to make clear to the country various facts that might otherwise have been misunderstood, and in general to provide a means of understanding, which I believe did much to restore confidence. Tonight, 8 weeks later, I come for the second time to give you my report, in the same spirit and by the same means, to tell you about what we have been doing and what we are planning to do. I know that the people of this country will understand this, and that they will also understand the spirit in which we are undertaking that policy. I do not deny that we may make some mistakes of procedure as we carry out this policy. I have no expectation of making a hit every time I come to bat. What I seek is the highest possible batting average, not only for myself, but for the team. Theodore Roosevelt once said to me, if I can be right 75% of the time, I could come up to the fullest measure of my hopes. Much has been said of late about federal finances and inflation, about the gold standard, and francs and pounds and so forth. I should like to make the fact very simple and to make my policy very clear. In the first place, government credit and government currency are really one and the same thing. Behind government bonds, there is only a promise to pay. Behind government currency, we have, in addition to the promise to pay, a reserve of gold and a small reserve of silver. Neither of them anything like the total amount of the currency. And in this connection, it is worthwhile remembering that in the past, the government has agreed to redeem nearly 30 billions of its debt and its currency in gold. And private corporations and individuals in this country have agreed to redeem another 60 or 70 billion of securities and mortgages in gold. The government and the private corporations and individuals were making these agreements when they knew full well that all of the gold in the United States amounted to only between 3 and 4 billion, and that all of the gold in all of the world amounted to only about 11 billion. If the holders of these promises to pay were all of them to start in to demand gold, the first comers would get gold for a few days or a few hours, and those first comers who would get the gold would amount to about 1/25 of all of the holders of the securities in the currency. The other 24 people out of 25 who did not happen to be at the top of the line would be politely told that there was no more gold left. And so we have decided in Washington to treat all 25 people in the same way, in the interest of justice and in the exercise of the constitutional powers of this government. We placed everyone on the same basis in order that the general good may be preserved. Nevertheless, gold, and to a partial extent silver also, are perfectly good bases for currency. And that is why I decided not to let any of the gold now in the country go out of it. A series of conditions arose 3 weeks ago, which very readily might have meant first a drain on our gold by
Oh, it's a very old recording.
And secondly, as a result of that drain,
it's one of
American capital itself in the form of gold out of our country. And it is
I'm
not
recording.
Exaggerating the possibility to tell you that such an occurrence might well have taken from us the major part of our gold reserve. And might well have resulted in such a further weakening of our government and private credit as to bring on actual panic conditions and the complete stoppage of the wheels of industry. The administration has the definite objective of raising commodity prices to such an extent that those who have borrowed money will, on the average, be able to repay that money in the same kind of dollar which they borrowed. We do not seek to let them get such a cheap dollar that in effect they will be able to pay a great deal less back than they borrowed. In other words, we seek to correct a wrong and not to create another wrong in the opposite direction. That is why powers are being given to the administration to provide, if necessary, for an enlargement of credit in order to correct the existing wrong. These powers will be used when, as, and if it may be necessary to accomplish the purpose. Hand in hand with the domestic situation, which of course is our first concern, is the world situation. And I want to emphasize to you that the domestic situation is inevitably and deeply tied in with the conditions in all of the other nations of the world. In other words, we can get in all probability some measure of return of prosperity in the United States. But it will not be permanent unless we can get in a return to prosperity all over the world. In the conferences that we have held and are holding with the leaders of other nations, we are seeking four great objectives. First, a general reduction of armaments, and through this, the removal of the fear of invasion and of armed attack, and at the same time, a reduction in armament costs in order to help in the balancing of government budgets and in the reduction of taxation. Secondly, a cutting down of the trade barriers in order to restart the flow of exchange of crops and of goods between nations. Third, we seek the setting up of a stabilization of currency in order that trade and commerce can make contracts ahead. And fourth, we seek the reestablishment of friendly relations and greater confidence between all nations. Our foreign visitors these past 3 weeks have responded to these purposes in a very helpful way. All of the nations have suffered alike in this Great Depression. They have all reached the conclusion that each can best be helped by the common action of all. And it is in this spirit that our visitors have met with us and discussed our common problem. The great international conference of this summer that lies before us must succeed. The future of the world demands it, and we have each of us pledged ourselves to the best joint effort to that end. To you, the people of this country, all of us in Washington, the members of the Congress and the members of this administration, owe a profound debt of gratitude. Throughout the Depression, you have been patient. You have granted us wide power. You have encouraged us with a widespread approval of our purposes. Every ounce of strength, every resource at our command, we have devoted and we are devoted to the end of justifying your confidence. We are encouraged to believe that a wise and sensible beginning has been made. In the present spirit of mutual confidence, in the present spirit of mutual encouragement, we go forward. And in conclusion, my friends, may I express to the National Broadcasting Company and to the Columbia Broadcasting System my thanks for the facilities that they have made available to me tonight.
That was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's second fireside chat from May 7th, 1933, titled Outlining the New Deal Program. You're listening to 94.7 KPIP's A Glance Back.
I know a ditty, nutty as a fruitcake, goofy as a goon,
and silly as a loon. Some call it pretty,
others call it crazy,
but they all sing this tune. Badgy notes and nosy notes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly-divey do wouldn't do. Badgy notes and nosy notes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly-divey do wouldn't do. If the words sound clear and funny to your ear, a little bit jumbled and jivey, sing mare's heat oats and nose heat oats and little lambs eat ivy. Oh, mare's heat oats and nosy notes and little lambs eat ivy. A giddly divey do wouldn't do. A giddly divey do wouldn't do. Dotes and nosy, dotes and little lambsy divey, a giddly divey do,
wouldn't you?
There's dotes and nosy, dotes and little lambsy divey,
a
giddly divey do,
wouldn't you?
If the words sound queer, funny to your ear, a little bit mumbled and tumbled and jumbled and jivey, sing mare's eat oats, nosy oats, little lambs eat ivy.
There's
dotes and nosy, dotes
and little lambsy
divey,
a giddly
divey do,
wouldn't you?
Ooh, a giddly divey do, wouldn't you?
Thank you.
This is Local Voices with a glance back at World War II with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
I give you a toast to ladies and gentlemen. I give you a toast to ladies and gentlemen. May this fair land we love so well in dignity and freedom dwell. The world may change and go awry while there is still one voice to cry. There'll always be England, where there's a country lane, wherever there's a cottage small beside a field of grain. There'll always be an England, where there's a busy street, wherever there's a turning wheel, a million marching feet. Red, white and blue, what does it mean to you? Surely you're proud, shout it out loud, Britain's away. The Empire too, we can depend on you. Freedom remains, these are the chains, nothing can break. There'll always be an England, and England shall be free. If England means as much to you as England means to me. Out loud, Britain's away. The Empire too, we can depend on you. Freedom remains, these are the chains, nothing can break. There'll always be an England, and England shall be free. If England means as much to you as England.
Opposing in the magazines, but with the Navy's eyes, the Admiral's fireflies were high sky riding aeronautical guys. Wings over the Navy, sailing the seven skies. sky.
The overture to the second act of the Gibson Family, let's step backstage and look in on Sally Gibson and Hilda, her maid, who is helping Sally change for the next scene.
Quick, Hilda, hold this dress. I've never been so excited in all my life.
It's really wonderful, isn't it, Miss Sally?
Too wonderful. That scene in the garden.
It made me think of Henry, Miss Sally. Miss Sally, if I had your complexion, do you suppose Henry would...
What, Hilda?
Help me, what's wrong with my face, Miss Sally? Those red blotches just won't go away.
Soap, probably. What kind are you using? Some beauty soap, I suppose.
Yes, Miss Sally. That one that promises radiant beauty, glamorous youth, irresistible loveliness. Oh, Miss Sally, I had hoped Henry would...
Yes, so did I once. And then I learned the truth. Hilda, you can't feed the pores of your skin with beauty oils or mysterious ingredients.
No.
And many highly perfumed, prettily colored soaps contain fatty acids and free alkali that really irritate and harm your skin.
But, Miss Sally...
My doctor recommended Ivory. He says all any soap can do is cleanse, and that to protect the fine texture and pores, a soap should cleanse gently. And that to do that, a soap must be pure. He said Ivory would help to keep my skin smooth and fine.
And, Miss Sally, do you think Henry would...
Oh, quick, my gloves, Hilda. Is the bell for the second act?
No, Hilda will never get a Grecian nose by using a beauty soap. But we do hope she gets Henry. And now for the overture to our second act. All right, Don.
Every one of you undoubtedly have a headache or pain remedy that you swear by. But haven't you noticed that on some occasions it fails you? That there are times it does not seem to work? On these occasions, let me suggest that you try Anacin. For here is a remedy that I'm sure won't fail you. You'll find the fastest and most complete relief in Anacin you've ever experienced. The reason is simple. Anacin contains not one pain-soothing agent alone, but four. One of which is in all probability the remedy you now customarily take to relieve pain. You can get Anacin at your druggist for a few cents. Your money back if you're not pleased. I'll spell the name. A-N-A-C-I-N.
From 200,000 Marines, 200 volunteers were chosen, and every man had a reason for going. They had only one aim, to kill every Jap, to destroy every installation on Macon Island.
Travel back in time with us with this special edition of Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
Never treats me sweet and gentle the way he should. I got it bad, and that ain't sentimental, not made. that ain't good. But when the week is over and Friday rolls around, my man and me, we pray some, then gin some, then sin some. Lord above me, make him love me the way he should. Oh, I've got it bad, and that ain't
we'll be right back.
it's time to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back. In 1930, novelist D.H. Lawrence dies of tuberculosis in a sanitarium in Venice, France, at the age of 45. In 1931, President Herbert Hoover signs a bill that makes Francis Scott Key's Star Spangled Banner the national anthem. In 1932, the Lindbergh baby is kidnapped from the home near Princeton, New Jersey. In 1933, Hitler and nationalist allies win the Reichstag majority. It will be the last free election in Germany until after World War II. In 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is inaugurated to his first term as president in Washington, D.C. Also in 1933, the newly inaugurated President Franklin D. Roosevelt halts the trading of gold and declares a bank holiday. In 1935, Germany officially establishes the Luftwaffe. In 1934, in Bombay, Gandhi begins to fast. It's a protest to the state's autocratic rule. In 1940, a Nazi air raid kills 108 on a British liner in the English Channel. In 1942, Japanese troops land on Java in the Pacific. In 1942, the RAF raids the industrial suburbs of Paris. In 1943, the British RAF, or Royal Armed Forces, conducts strategic bombing raids on all European railway lines. In 1943, the center of Berlin is bombed by the RAF. Some 900 tons of bombs are dropped in only half an hour. In 1943, in desperation due to war losses, 15 and 16-year-olds are called up for military service in the German army. In 1944, Berlin is bombed by the American forces for the first time. 1945, MacArthur raises the U.S. flag on Coregidor in the Philippines. 1945, Finland declares war on the Axis forces. And in 1946, in Fulton, Missouri, Winston Churchill tells a crowd at Westminster College that, quote, an iron curtain has descended on the continent of Europe. Tune in next week for another look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back.
Thank you. dreamed a dream one day, and now that dream is here beside me. Long the skies were overcast, but now the clouds have passed. You're here at last. Chills run up and down my spine. Aladdin's lamp is mine. The dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you.
Long ago.
So long ago and far away. So long ago. So long ago and far away. I dreamed a dream one day.
Lamp is mine. The dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago, so long ago,
take a glance at the past and present with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Ha ha ha.
need to take cover when you hear these engines sound. British planes are in the sky, ways on their daily vigil bound. We'll make one of their number, write our name upon the wing. When the planes are flying over, you will hear all Britain sing. There's music in the sky. Don't you hear the engines humming? Prepare to do or die. The British planes are coming. Steadfast, reliant, Spitfire or Defiant. So give a rousing cheer. The British planes are here.
Thank you for tuning in to Local Voices this Monday on 94.7 KPIP, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This Glance Back at History edition of the Local Voices program airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. We'll see you next Monday, only on 94.7 KPIP.